Turning with me, please, to Romans 1, verse 17. I pray this Spirit will really open our heart to a truth tonight that we hear about it a lot in life, and it's about faith, living by faith. And maybe if I have the iPad up here, I might draw a sketch, but maybe not, but let's bring it up anyway. Good evening. Praise the Lord. Great to be here. What a beautiful day we had today in the faith. Romans 1, verse 17. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. I'll draw a little picture of a guy here. By the way, Pastor Chabelli travels, I think, tomorrow, right, Pastor? Please keep Pastor in prayer. We can pray for you at the end, Pastor. He travels to India and Nepal, right, for 2 weeks. So keep him in prayer. How does he go to India? By an airplane, right? But that decision is a decision of faith. That your life is a natural life. We have a natural man here up on the screen. People live naturally. That's normal. We go to school. We learn how to live. We learn to pay our bills. We have our way of life, and it's natural. But the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. So we have the idea of living from faith to faith. And righteousness is revealed. All right, so the just shall live by faith. Verse 17, as it is written, the just, by the way, so here's one picture, simple. The just live faith. The just shall live by faith. The just, that's you. And what happens to us? We live. And how does it work? By faith. Do you really live? Like, what's live mean? Live, like, really live. How? By faith. So when you become a believer, there's something more in your life than you had before. You have the righteousness of God revealed to you as you live by faith. Another way of is in Mark 4. Turn with me to Mark 4. We have a lot of volunteers in our church. They are volunteers in the day school, nursery, in the Sunday school. They are volunteers in street evangelism. They are church planters. They are people that work and serve. Mark 4, verse 24 and 25. Take heed what you hear. Take heed what you hear. Be careful what you hear. Take heed to what you hear, because not everything you hear will lead you in faith. It might tear your faith away. There are people that lose their faith because of what they hear. So you take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. If you are hearing and believing and living in faith, then that will be measured to you. There'll be an increase. There will be a measurement given to you. You know, I have a bottle cap here. And maybe this is what my faith is, and that's what's measured to me. That's what God gives me, a bottle cap, because that's my measure. I don't believe much, so I have a bottle cap of faith, but that's what is given to me. But what if I believe God for my life? And I say, Lord, give to me. I will give you my life and measure back to me what you want to give me. And unto you that hear shall more be given. More is given. More is given and more is given. Where do volunteers come from? Where do you find people saying, I'm available, I'll do it, I'll help out? Where do they come from? I think it's an issue of spiritual life, where it's not about people recognizing my volunteerism, because it's not really volunteerism as much as it is a life of faith. I'll go by faith. How does this Pastor Chevelli go to India? By faith. How does Linda stay at home without him? By faith. How have they done this for decades? By faith. But that's a radical example, but you could be sure that it started from one degree of faith, where God gave him a measure, a bottle cap, and he started to believe God in his life and live by faith. From faith to faith to faith, and that's what it looks like here. Verse 25, for he that has what? He that has, could we say, he that has Christ, he that has faith in Christ, he that has truth in his heart, to him shall be given. And he that has not, from him shall be taken away that which he has. But he doesn't have. There are people that have a natural life, but they don't have any faith. And that will be taken away from them, their life. Everything goes. The bank account goes, the money goes, the land goes, the job goes, the career goes, the natural life goes. We're buried in the ground. It's all gone. Nothing there. But he that has what? Faith. He that has been living by faith is increasing with an increase, and he's finding the joy, the love, the life. Turn to Matthew 16 with me. Verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me. Let's go back to this picture, this one. If any man come after me, let him deny himself, his natural life, and come after me. What's the thing? Coming after me is a life of faith. I'm going to believe God. I remember when I first came into this church 50 years ago, and I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know if I wanted to keep coming here. I didn't know if I wanted to read my Bible. I didn't know what I wanted in my life. I was somehow lost, but born again and saved. I didn't know where I was. I was in Maine. I'm from New York. I was just there this summer. But I found who are these people? I remember a lobster fisherman shaking my hand, and my hand was like damaged for like a week. So who are these people? What are they saying? What is the message? And it was, Christ is real. Follow Christ. Deny yourself. You will find a new life. Christ will be with you. God will fill you with the Holy Spirit. You will know Christ in a personal way and follow him by faith. Yeah, but, this is the natural man, right? Yeah, but, what a story this is. Look at Matthew 16, 25. For whosoever will save his life. Aren't we good at that? Huh? Save my life. Of course, you save your life. You protect your life. You guard your life. You save your life. You live for your life. It's your life. You've got one of them. I'm saving my life. I'm living for myself. Of course I am. What, you think I'm stupid? My life is the most precious thing I have. And what did Jesus say? This is an issue. It's an issue of faith, isn't it? What does it say? Whoever will save his life shall lose it. Lose my life. Really? Yeah. I'll lose my life. It'll be lost. Maybe if not drugs, boredom, maybe alcohol, maybe a broken heart, maybe an addiction, maybe depression. What am I losing? I'm losing my time. I'm losing my opportunities. Yeah, I might get to the top, but only to find that it's not such a great deal. I'll try again. I lose my life by saving my life. But verse 25 says, whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Now turn to Hebrews, two more verses, Hebrews 11. You're very quiet. Maybe that's a good thing. Hebrews 11, yeah, thank you. It's like amazing, I think. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. I always think of standing on the edge of a cliff and God says, jump, and I will catch you. And I sometimes think of the fear of jumping. It's 300 feet down, and the fear of it is like crazy. And I trust God and jump, and he catches me, you know, halfway down or immediately or way at the bottom. There's no way to know. Will he catch me? I'm going to jump because I believe that he will catch me. I believe he will. That's faith. I don't know exactly how it works, but it's something beyond us. But I kind of find it goes this way, that he catches you and then he lifts you up and you're able to look at this world here like the table. And you're able to look down from a new perspective and say, God, you enlarged my heart. You gave me something because I live by faith. I got something bigger than myself. You bless me. There's an increase in your heart, an increase in your life because you live by faith. And this pleases God because it's good for you and I to get beyond ourselves, our protection, our guarding ourselves, our way of naturally living, our limited life, and to find Him. And this is what happens in this chapter. Verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Does He reward you? What kind of reward? Maybe this kind. He shows you. He tells you secrets. He opens up your heart and your mind. You get to see life in a new way. Not in any way like we're perfect people or we're better than other people. We're just blessed to have God as our friend. We're just blessed to say that God did increase. He did give me a bottle cap, but that was just the first step to the swimming pool. He gave me a swimming pool. He has rewarded you. He has given you value. He's given you words. He gave you the Spirit. He has given you comfort. He's increased your life. But there are many areas where we are challenged, and it doesn't stop. I think we have to continue in our faith. Let's go to Colossians 2 and verse 7. Or is it 6? Yes, 6. Colossians 2, 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, as you received Him. How did you receive Him? Remember the Billy Graham Crusades? And watch them on video or on the YouTube channel, or watch Billy Graham. Some of those are remarkable meetings that he had for half an hour, 27 minutes preaching to 50,000 people. What would you say in 27 minutes if you had 50,000 people listening? And I mean, he was covered with prayer and a lot of love, and he did such a great job. It's in our history as a country, and we needed it as we do now. So they would walk forward. How did they come? By faith. How did you become a believer? By faith. And then how do you walk? Verse 6, as you have received Him by faith, so walk in Him. Forgive somebody by faith. Forgive. Pray by faith. Think of 1 Timothy 2, where it says we pray with hands, arms up in the air, hands, and it says two words about it. Hands without wrath. Well, look at me now. Wrath means like clenched fist. Wrath, anger, without wrath, like this, without wrath, and then without, what was the other word? What? Yeah, sorry, my hearing aid isn't turned on, I can't hear. Without wrath and doubt, yeah, that's it, doubting. Yes, thank you. Okay, without wrath, like anger, and without doubt. Lift up hands. Well, what's the thing about lifting up hands? To me, like, why would God have us lift up hands? I think because it's a little exercise, a bottle cap maybe, to raise your hands by yourself in your bedroom. By yourself, raising hands is faith. Faith. Live by faith. So, Noah built the ark by faith. Abraham left home by faith. Sarah had a child by faith, so when you read the story, she doubted and laughed about it. But I'm sure as her belly started to grow, she worshiped God, had a child, and the Bible says it was by faith. Her and Abraham got together one night by faith. They were old people, but they lived by faith. And Moses left Egypt by faith. And maybe you went to Bible school by faith. And maybe you started to go to homiletics class by faith. And maybe you went to Pastor Ronaldo's class and by faith. And Pastor Matt Garrett. And then we went out on the street here in Baltimore. And Baltimore needs what we have to say. And we do it by faith. And maybe to another city in America by faith. And maybe you talk to your relatives by faith. And maybe you have a conversation with somebody, and just because you live by faith, you talk about Jesus to them with love, and you live by faith. And maybe you say prayers at night, and maybe you get on the phone with somebody in the morning and just say, let's have a prayer, a fervent prayer in the Spirit, and let's pray by faith, and God will answer us. And maybe our church, we have corporate faith as a church, and we have seen beautiful things happen. I can't wait until we have our little patio out here in the mud pile out there outside the door. That's going to change because we got pavers and guys to do the, and it'll happen, and it's going to happen, and God has blessed us in many ways. And Cody Walker got his CDL license to drive the bus. So we're handing out helmets to the people that get on the bus because we live by faith. And the driver said, Cody can drive the bus. What a good guy he is, isn't he? And he has a girlfriend. Hallelujah. Emily. Probably listening. Hey, I want you to think about it. What can happen in your life when you live by faith? That's all. That's all. I just love it. Our kids need to know that mom and dad go to church. Mom and dad live by faith. They drive in the car going to church. When our kids were little, we would give them you remember the ice cream sandwiches at the 7-Eleven for 25 cents? I'm still looking for those. Those are amazing. 25 cents. We'll stop by and get an ice cream on the way home after church and just get an ice cream sandwich for 25 cents. And just all of your life, never back up, but grow in your faith. You will not regret it. Many things happen because of that faith that we have. So that's what I wanted to say tonight. So why don't you, before we do the offering, why don't you just turn to each other and just say, I feel in my heart I want to be refreshed in this thought that if I live by faith, God will show up. There'll be a reward. There'll be a visitation. There'll be comfort. I believe if I live by faith, not back off, but obey God and live by faith, that I will find God in my life in a very personal way in the body. So go ahead, talk about it for a minute. Justin just shared, he just told me we were breaking the bank when we're buying 25 cent ice cream. He remembers. The wound is deep. Okay.
So I'm closing the bottle, but it's not because I'm lacking faith. I don't want to lose the faith that we have, so holding it. Wow. Somehow I find myself standing up here after Pastor Schaller's just preached the most incredible things, and we could just go home, right? I have nothing to say that could add to that, but we're going to try. So Wasn't that a great thought? Incredible. And I just have been enjoying so much the themes and kind of watching life happen through Hungary. We went to Hungary and we saw God move. And since I've been back, just watching in the messages and watching our pastor's heart for us, right? And this morning, he made a few statements that I think were really awesome. One, he said, when he quoted G. Campbell Morgan, you remember this? He said, "Revival belongs to the Lord, but we can set our sails to catch the wind." Isn't that an awesome thought? Like, it's God's authority that drives a revival, but if we're not there with our wings, with our sails or wings, whatever you got, use them. If you're not there with your sails open, then you know there's no moving. We don't benefit from the revival. And he talked about Jonah being, you know, learning a lesson. Jonah, who God called to go to Nineveh, goes down to the ticket office and buys a ticket the opposite direction. You know, where's Nineveh? That way? Okay, good. I want to go that way. And he ends up in the belly of the fish, right? And then he said, you know, it was interesting. Jonah's thinking, what is going on? How come I'm in the belly of the fish? But really the question he should have been asking is, what's in my belly, right? What's inside of me? And how is it that, you know, I could see the Lord? And he said that Job asked if I were, you know, if I were, what did he say? He said, Job 23:6, "Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me." Right? If I were to meet God, would he plead against me with his great power? No, he'd put his strength in me. What an awesome God. That's his desire, to put his strength in us. And his desire for Job, for Jonah, was to put his strength in him. And ultimately, while he was in despair and in the belly of the fish, he's looking, you know, towards the direction of the Lord. He's changing his mind. The pressures of life, and this is, I think, the thought that I took away from that this morning. The pressures of life, he said, the cramping of life that we find ourselves in. We make decisions. Those decisions result in being put in tight spots and cramping, and we're thinking, how did I get here? What did I do? And God's just saying, look to me, and I'll enlarge your heart. Look to me, and I'll enlarge your place. I'll give you my grace and my mercy. And then we just hear that again tonight. Isn't that awesome? So God is faithful. Let's make a point to put ourselves in a place where we can set our sails to catch the revival. God is not withholding his love from us. He's desiring that we would receive it and that we would live in it. He's not withholding his mercy. He wants us to be in a place where we can see it and live in it. His grace, right? Brand new every single day. His mercies are brand new every single day. So there's a beautiful progression. He said that love in Daniel 10:19, he said, "O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto you, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he has spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Lord, let the Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me." Love cast out the fear. Fear brought peace into us, and we're strengthened in the inner man. What a beautiful thought, isn't it? So tonight, we're going to do two things here. We're going to ask those of you that have your children here, your young children, we're going to ask them to come on up on stage so we can see them and we can pray for them. If you have a child here, do we have any children here? Come on up on stage here for just a minute. Don't be shy. Come on up. Come on up. Come on, guys. Don't be shy. Look at that. There's a whole second row of kids there. Come on up. Come on up here. You can line up right in front of this so they can see you, okay? These are our young people, right? Come right over here. They are being raised up to recognize the character and nature of God. Imagine that at this young age, the world has a plan for them. God has a different plan. Thank God for parents who have decided to bring their children to a place where they can hear the word of truth and be affected by it and have it become resident in their souls. And God knows what kind of transformation can happen right? We know that our next generation is right here receiving the word of God tonight. So give God a big praise offering for that. Right? And while they're up here on stage, and we're gonna pray for the offering, and we can just think that this church that we are living in, right, this church that we are a part of, has life. It has a future life. And we have been privileged with being stewards of this generation, right? We are all part of this generation of the church, and then there's another whole generation to come, and another generation, and another generation. And the world would like to cramp that all down into the belly of a fish. But God has other plans, right? Those plans are amazing. And look at these guys, these ladies and gentlemen right here. God has amazing plans. So let's give with that in mind, that we have this beautiful church. We're going to have turf, and we're going to have pavers, and we're going to have amazing things out here in the front by faith. We're living by faith, and it's coming down the pike. And that's happening, by the way. That's not a pipe dream. That's happening. That's happening. It's been approved. It's happening. Just like God's visitation to us is happening. Amen? All right, so let's pray. So Heavenly Father, thank you for these children, Lord. Thank you for these children that are here, and they are receiving amazing truth in the presence, your presence, God. On a Sunday night, they are in church. They are being built up by you, Lord. It's amazing. Our future is sound when we have people who seek you in your voice, Lord. So thank you for their families. Thank you for these students. Lord, thank you for our offering tonight. And we just ask you that you would have it be a faith offering from a faith-giving church who lives in a faithful God. And we thank you in your precious name. Amen.